Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, once again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey. I want to welcome you this evening. We've got a great show for you tonight. Again, as FMG Live promotes all aspects of Christian living, we've brought with us tonight Beachbody coach and certified PIO instructor, Melissa Nance. Now, before we get into our discussion with Melissa, I just want to remind everyone that you can follow us on Facebook. You can check us out at blogtalkradio.com and follow us on Twitter at FMG Live, the number 2 and the letter U. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Welcome.
Hi, John. Thank you so much.
I want to get right into things. Now that we're past the holidays and the tables, I know with my family, it was a small table of entrees and a huge table of desserts. And so, We're past that point now. I think we managed to finish off the last pumpkin pie here last week.
Wow.
So, what are some things that beginners who maybe want to lose some of that weight and change some of their eating habits? What can beginners do to change those eating habits now that there's a new year started?
Well, for starters, stop indulging. Time to stop the madness. Cleanse, fast, an elimination diet. Do whatever has worked for you in the past, but you need to do something to jumpstart better nutrition and to commit to making healthier choices. Your body yearns for that. It needs it, and it deserves it. And typically, the first of the year brings a time of reflection, and after throwing caution to the wind and indulging in all those rich, festive foods that we usually do the last 2 months of the year, we start to vow that we're never going to do that again. We feel horrible. We're going to be good to our bodies starting in January, and we commit and we swear we're going to stick to it. So we start on the clean eating spree. So clean eating is more than just washing your fruits and vegetables prior to using them. If you ask several people what their definition of clean eating is, everybody's going to have a different version. So mine's going to be different from yours. Yours is going to be different from what your 16-year-old believes what clean eating is. First, let's mention what clean eating is not. It's not being perfect. It's not deprivation. It's not excessive calorie restriction. And it's not really even a diet. Eating to require perfection, it's hard to sustain that 100% of the time. So for most people, if we strive to eat clean 80 to 90% of the time, you're doing great. Avoiding processed food, which is high in chemical additives, trans fats, refined sugars, things like that, you just want to stay away from there. Refined foods are horrible. Pastas, bread, quick fixes, packaged foods. There's no nutrition value in that. So to me, clean eating is eating according to your goals and getting plenty of vegetables and fruits in moderation, because fruits can lead to problems with your hormones and regulating your blood sugars. So if you're vegetarian or vegan, and you have plenty of plant-based alternatives, but if you do eat meat, choose to eat high quality, aim to get your meat from grass-fed animals if possible. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's so much healthier for you in the long run. And I have to mention that I'm not sure if many of the people listening may know the differences between alkaline and acidic foods, but all meat, fish, grains are very highly acidic, and we need to try to keep as many alkaline foods in our system as possible. So I just urge you to do your research on that. Eating a lot of high acidic foods will feed many deadly diseases. So
So basically what you're talking about there, yeah, is balancing your food choices. You know, when we're talking about meat being an acidic, alkaline, mm-hmm. and that's more of your vegetables, particularly green
right.
vegetables, right? And those are going to balance out the acid, the
right.
acidic property of the meat.
Exactly.
So you need to keep that in balance. And also what I'm hearing yeah. from you is, in terms of meat, if you're going to eat meat, then you want to go for quality instead of quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can go to Walmart and I can buy a big pack of, you know, ribs or what have you. Maybe instead of doing that, I should buy a couple of smaller high-end steaks or some really lean ground beef.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
exactly.
maybe some grass, and then obviously the grass-fed.
Exactly.
You know, when we're talking about eating right, so we've got that covered. Now, one of the other things that is important to changing our lifestyle is exercise. So what are
right.
some things that beginners can do? Because that's what we're really talking about, right? It's a lifestyle change.
Correct, yes. It is a lifestyle change, and it takes effort. It takes discipline, and it takes consistency. But you just have to tell yourself you're never going to change your life until you change something that you do daily. The secret to our success in any area of our life is found in your daily routine. So what you do day in and day out, you can, fine pick what you do day in and day out, and somewhere in there you can find what you need to cut out or what you need to add. And it really comes down to how badly you want it, whatever that it is for you. And I think that so many people become overwhelmed, myself included, when they don't have a set plan. So I suggest that you start your fitness journey, as with any other self-improvement journey, with looking inward and asking yourself why. If your why is because you want to be able to play with your kids or your grandkids more often, then start there. If your why is because you want to inspire other people, which is part of my why, then that's your building block. And you find out how after that. If you're a beginner, start out with clean eating and incorporate some form of exercise into your day every day. You don't have to start out, all gung-ho. Just take one or two things and add or cut out of your daily routine. Like we were talking earlier, cut out soda and drink water only. Take a walk at lunch or vow to replace one meal a day with a salad. I think it's really important in the beginning to develop your discipline and doing something fitness-related every day for the first few months, because it will help you later. I mean, later, after your working out has become a habit for you, you're going to find time to make it for yourself. It just becomes a habit. It becomes your fix. I know it does for me. If I go a couple of days and don't work out, then I feel awful, and it's not because I feel not really obligated. I do, because I owe that to myself. I owe it to the people that I love to take care of myself, but it's just your body gets used to it. So no matter how busy your life gets, you need to make time for yourself.
Now, when we're talking about exercise, and I heard you kind of touch on this a little bit, how necessary is repetitive exercise versus kind of activity-based exercise? You're talking about going for walks. See, those things sound like
mm-hmm.
things that beginners could do, because I think sometimes
right.
people get put off with the, oh, my gosh, I've got to do 100 sit-ups and 100 push-ups, and I don't even know
mm-hmm.
how to do a pull-up kind
right.
of thing. So what kind of balance, how do you balance those two, repetitive versus activity-based?
Well, it's two different forms, and you do need both. Many exercises require repetitive movement, such as lifting weights and running and swimming, and it's where your muscle definition is going to come in at if that's what you're trying to obtain. You have to be careful, though. Repetitive motion can sometimes cause an injury if you do it repetitively day in and day out. It's really important to cross-train. I've learned the hard way. Being a PIO instructor, there were days where I would practice for hours and hours at a time, and I created a shoulder problem for myself. So now it's an every other day kind of thing for me, and not quite as in-depth. But you have to cross-train, and the cardio is the other part. Activity-based exercise or cardio, it's any movement that's going to get your heart rate up. It increases your blood circulation, and some people hate it and some people love it. I would much rather strength train any day than do cardio, but I know it's necessary. It's a necessary part of the whole love-hate relationship because not only does it burn calories and it will aid in fat loss, it also strengthens your heart, it increases your metabolism, and it improves your hormones because it releases endorphins. So it's a good thing.
Excellent. So now we've talked about beginners. Let's say, though, that I am someone who I eat healthy, I exercise regularly, but I've plateaued. What can I do to sort of jumpstart my program to the next level?
Well, plateaus usually occur because our bodies adapt to the training or the diet or both. We have to kind of shake it up a little bit. It's almost like you have to sneak up on your own body. So the more you work out and the higher your fitness level reaches, the faster your body is going to adapt. So like I said, you have to surprise your body into working harder. It's all about changing things up. You have to change your routine, your diet, or your program, or just do something your body doesn't expect, so it has to work harder to do what you ask it to do. You've got to find ways to be creative. It may not feel like you're in control of the plateau or that you are the one in control of your weight, but you are. You just need to figure out how and take the reins. And another thing that I've learned is that's so important is getting enough sleep. I'm a huge night owl by nature. I love to stay up late. It's just something about the quietness and the darkness. It's just serene and tranquil, and I just like it. It's like me time. But if you're stressed and you're not getting enough sleep anyway, your cortisol levels are going to get all out of whack, and cortisol will promote fat storage. So not getting enough sleep and carrying stress around are two main factors that will contribute to your cortisol levels being all messed up. So if you know you've got to be at work, or if you know that you want to work out at, say, 5 or 6 a.m., you need to be asleep by 10 p.m., not on Facebook reading and chatting. So, and that's hard for me as a social person to do anyway. So.
Right.
So, but I've learned to turn off all of the electronic stimulus, even the laptop, you know, beep, the little light beeping. That can be bothersome for me. It needs to be completely black. And if you indulge in things like alcohol or things like that, that's not helpful at all either. And magnesium and melatonin helped me tremendously in getting a good 8 hours sleep.
Well, and, you know, sleep, that's something that is really critical. I've seen a lot of articles and a lot of studies, and they all point to people don't get enough sleep. You know, we as Americans, we want to run 24/7.
Right.
And we have news cycles that go 24/7. We have television programs. I can remember, you know, I'm kind of dating myself here, but I remember when I was even a teenager, you know, around 2 o'clock in the morning, all the channels,
exactly.
you only had a few channels, they all went off, and all you have is snow. But now you can watch anything, anytime. Now, and as we talked kind of about time, and I'm just curious, and you may not, this wasn't one of the questions that I asked you, but it brings to mind, is there a particular time of day that is better for you to exercise? Is it better to get up in the morning and exercise? Is it better to exercise at night? Is it something that you can tailor around your own schedule? Like you said, you're a night owl. Is it okay for you to maybe exercise at 2 a.m. before you go to bed?
Well, I think that probably depends on each individual schedule. I know a lot of people that work third shift will get off of their shift and go straight into the gym. So I guess you can tailor it to your specific needs and your specific schedule. I think most people that are into fitness will probably tell you the earlier in the day that you can get your workout in and get it done and over with, the better you're going to be. And speaking from experience, I know that when I was able to get my butt up at 4 a.m. and work out before getting ready to go to work, it energized me and it made me feel a lot better. If you go through your whole entire day and the stress of the day, and then you come home and you know you've got things you need to do at home also that's weighing on your mind, it does make it more difficult to work out in the evening. So, but again, it's specifically to your schedule, whatever can work for you.
Well, and that's a good point. You're right. If you, you know, spend all of your day and you've had a bad day and you come in, you're like, oh, my gosh, now I've got to work out too. You're less likely to do that.
Exactly.
Hey, it's first thing in the morning. It's the first thing I do. And it's going to you know, energize me and get me ready to go for the day.
Exactly.
I want to change gears a little bit on you. Now, I happen to know that you feel this is an area of ministry for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you feel that way?
I do, and it's because society as a whole puts so much emphasis on looking a particular way, and it's just very disheartening. I personally believe that God sees you as a beautiful creature that he created, but sometimes we look in the mirror and we struggle to see what he sees. We can't believe that he would even consider us beautiful because we may have a love handles, we may have a little bit of extra weight, you know, our nose too big, just a mountain of things. So we are so much greater than we think we are, and we're so much more loved than we ever feel that we are, and we're so much more beautiful than we know that we are. So I don't want my fitness ministry to be about killing yourself to look a certain way. It's impossible. Perfection is impossible. I want the help that I offer others in this particular area to be about looking at yourself in a whole new way and seeing yourself the way that you already are and letting God's vision of you reshape the way you see yourself. And as we renew our minds and take on the mindset of our true selves, the way our Creator sees us, the positivity will trickle down into other areas of your life. And you know, suddenly we start to believe what our spirit has been whispering to us all along. And we see ourselves as beautiful and of having great worth. So we begin to put good fuel, which is healthy food, into our bodies. And then suddenly we feel that we are worth being taken care of. And this good nutrition gives us greater energy, so we start taking on some activities like walking with your spouse or joining the gym. And day by day, as time goes by, before you know it, you've built your momentum up, and because you were consistent. And it all started with renewing your mind, thinking about yourself self differently, and changing some old mindsets. So it's much more attainable than what we think it is, and it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It can actually be a valuable learning experience that will teach you so much about yourself. And I tell everybody, and this has been my beach body thing, that when we feel good, we feel unstoppable. And when we feel unstoppable, we're contagious, and we inspire other people to reach their goals. And that's an awesome feeling.
That really is, and you're right. When we feel well and we feel you know, at the top of our game, you know, we're excited about and passionate about whatever it is that we're doing.
Right.
You know, you bring up a really good point about perfection in society, and it's a terrible, terrible thing that our society does. We take, you know, and particularly with women, it happens to men as well, but particularly with women, we put a body type and a body style out there and say, this is what is beautiful. And so you take the negative effect on women is you might have someone who is beautiful as they are, and then they suddenly are down on themselves and suffer from low self-esteem because they don't match that size zero model.
Exactly.
They think, oh my gosh, because I'm not that, I'm not beautiful. When the exact opposite is true, they're beautiful just as they are. Really strong point. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's so much more that makes us beautiful than what we look at, what we look like on the outside. When my little girl was a little bitty girl, she had this beautiful voluminous hair like Cindy Crawford when she was 2 years old, and people would be like, "You're so pretty, you're so beautiful," and yes, she was, but I did not want to get in the habit of telling her all the time, "You're so pretty, you're so pretty, you're so pretty." She was pretty, but she was also very smart, very bright, very strong-willed, and I wanted her to be known for those things also. And I think we should tell all of our daughters the same thing. You're such an awesome person. You're such a caring person. You're such a strong-willed person. And sometimes when they're 3 years old, that can be a bit of a problem. But later in life, that strong will really becomes great for them, and it directs them where they're meant to go.
Well, and I think that's an awesome point, the fact that if we bring up our daughters, you know, in that way where we instill with them the values that we hold as beautiful, things like caring about others, things like caring about yourself, things like kindness and strength of mind and intelligence.
Exactly.
And, you know, we can include beauty and we can include cuteness as one of many things that all come together to make a person beautiful. I think that's a really strong point that you make. You know, and as we're talking about women, I want to ask you, is there specifically for women something that is things that are more difficult when it comes to eating healthy and exercise? What are some of the specific challenges that women face when we're talking about making these changes?
Well, I think as women, we wear 50 million hats a day, especially if you work outside the home. And even if you do work in the home, I'm not saying that that's not a job. It certainly is a job. But for women, it's a time management thing, and we wear so many hats. I mean, we're the caregivers. If we work outside the home, we have the 40-hour-a-week job. We still have to come home and plan meals, do the laundry, and do the cleaning, and help with homework, and be the taxi cab driver. So, again, it really goes back to you've got to fit your me time in. You cannot be the best person, the best mom, the best wife, the best person, period, that you can be unless you take care of yourself. So it's not selfish. It's not. You've got to look at it. You got to take on a different mindset and think that I'm doing this for my kids, I'm doing it for my husband, because you love them and you want to be healthy and you want to be there for them. But it's hard. It is hard.
And you're right, women carry so many burdens. You know, in some ways, we talk about how, you know, equality and things like that, but there's still a lot of the day-to-day chores and day-to-day things that men and women, you know, men and women both still think we're sort of in the 50s. The mom is responsible for the kids and is responsible for cleaning and is responsible for the laundry. Yeah. And she's probably working too, because most families, you know, need two incomes these days to really make ends meet. Let's go over the 90-Day Ultimate Healing Challenge. I love that name. There's that name is just chock full of stuff. It's 90 days, so it's going to end. But it's ultimate, and it's ultimate healing, and that's awesome, and it's a challenge. And I'm a competitive person, so I like challenges. So tell me, what is the 90-Day Ultimate Healing Challenge?
Well, I wanted to create this challenge basically to change some unhealthy mindsets, and it's not just about eating healthy or fitness. That's not what the challenge is all about. As with many people, starting a new year, it has you reflecting on the past and how you can make improvements in your life, and I noticed the first of the year, my newsfeed on Facebook was full of friends vowing various commitments. You know, some wanted to exercise more, some wanted to eat more healthy, others wanted to have more prayer time or heal a relationship, just various things. But I spent some time thinking on that, and it occurred to me that for many, they are probably setting the same goals that they set last year. And I wondered if they had even asked themselves why they didn't follow through or what must be done differently this year to make them be successful. Whether it's an accountability issue or just being overwhelmed or staying motivated or helping them to find out what their why is, that's why I wanted to create the 90-Day Challenge. So, like I said, it's much more than a fitness challenge. We have 18 participants now in the 90-Day Challenge, and I'd asked them all to tell me what their why was. I wanted them to really do some soul searching and try to look inward and find out, why do I want to be fit? Why do I want to eat healthy? Why do I want to do more personal development? Why do I want to have more prayer time? I want them to look inward and try to find the answers within themselves. And so healing your body with activity and nourishment, it'll lead to healing your mind and your spirit. You'll have added focus and positivity, and you gain a deeper understanding of who you were created to be. And my little group of people that I have, I'm so excited about it. Life's tough, and women, I think women tend to keep little secrets. They don't share because they're so afraid of being judged. And that's the one thing that I said with my 90-day challenge. This is a totally no judgment zone. We're going to share with each other. We're going to laugh with each other. We're going to encourage each other. We may cry with each other, but it's a no judgment zone. So I'm excited.
Well, you have created such a positive environment from what you're telling us. And I think that's a key part of this ultimate healing challenge, because what I'm hearing from you is that, you know, the eating healthy and the exercise, those are just tools to really get at the heart of a person's issue. Because very few of us today go around without something in our lives that we consider quote-unquote wrong, you know, a hurt that we carry with us from years ago, a pain, you know, in our soul. And you have this approach of coming at that and saying, you know what, I'm going to get your body to feel better, and as your body feels better, you're going to better address this issue that you have, whatever that might be. And I think that's a really, really excellent excellent approach to that, and so positive. What can listeners do? How can they find out more about the 90-Day Ultimate Healing Challenge?
They can go to my personal Facebook. I have created the event, and like I said, this is for women only. I've done a co-ed event before, but this is strictly for women only. They can go to my personal Facebook, and I also have a fitness page on Facebook called Innovative Fitness for All, and I've posted it there. So after the show tonight, I'll repost that, so it'll be at the very top. So if you're interested, please feel free to join up.
And so that's Innovative Fitness for All on Facebook, right?
Right, that's correct.
Well, Melissa, you know, I've got one, you know, we got a little bit of time left, just about a minute or so, and I wanted to ask you, what is your motivation behind this? What motivates you to do this?
For the challenge or just to eat healthy?
For the challenge.
I have a heart for women's ministry. By the time you reach 48 years old, you've got some baggage. So, and I imagine everybody's life is not perfect. There's no one with a perfect life. Someone's got something. Your something might be, you know, worse than mine, or my something might be worse than somebody else's. But we all have something, and we may still need healing from it. I mean, it's like a snowball effect almost. If you've not dealt with something and not healed from it, then one thing after another happens, and not eating healthy and not working out, not taking care of yourself, it just all snowballs. So if we can address that one hurt, you know, that one thing that we haven't healed from, I think it can open huge, huge doors for us. It's just the beginning of a life that we're really meant to live. Yeah.
I think you are so right, and that's such a great way to end our interview, because that is such a motivator that you've brought up. Melissa, I want to thank you so much. Beach Body Coach and Certified Pio Instructor Melissa Nance, check out her 90-Day Ultimate Healing Challenge. And this is all the time that we have for you tonight. Join us next week. We've got our Super Bowl show coming up. We're going to bring back our Christian sports analyst Robert Fowler. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the Seahawks versus the Patriots. Join us next week on FMG Live.